Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hello. And welcome. This is a funny episode, I think, with smash hit comedian Jade Adams. She is something else. She has me crying with laughter and food joy all at once. I've got a few things to bang on about first before we start with the podcast. Don't worry, it's almost all podcast related. Lots of exciting news, in fact. Firstly, there's the two live Hooverings that are happening in January. One of them sold out. That's the one on the 27th of January. If you didn't get tickets for that yet, boo-hoo, should have been quicker. But there are still tickets on Monday the 28th of January. It's an insane lineup, considering it's a tiny little room. We've got Zoe Lyons coming. She's one of the funniest people working in comedy, and she's a MasterChef semi-finalist. You'd be a dick not to come if you are free on Monday the 28th of January. Go to unrestrictedview.co.uk/the-hoovering-podcast-live. Also, I am pretty fizzy to announce on the London news as well that I'm coming to the Vaults Festival in March. On the 3rd of March, I'm hoovering live in a huge venue, which means huge guests, which I will be announcing soon. Get in there, though, quickly. Before I even announce these guests, Google the Vaults Festival and come and join us for a lovely Sunday afternoon, March the 3rd, of eating and laughing it all up. Also, it's by the by, but I'm previewing my new show there on the 15th of March for Peanuts in a tiny room. I'd be honoured to have you at that as well. Just look up the Vaults Festival and then search within that festival for the Hoovering Podcast or my name, Jessica Fostercue. In other exciting news for anyone listening north of the border, that's enough about London, isn't it? Yes, I agree. Enough about stupid London. Let's talk about Scotland, because I'm coming to the Glasgow Comedy Festival. It's the last weekend of March. On the 29th, I'm doing a preview of my new show, some stand-up, and that's in the late night. And then on the afternoon of the 30th of March, there's a Hoovering Live. I've already got one outstandingly cool and funny guest in the bag, who I'll be announcing soon. And if you want to support the podcast and get discount tickets to these live shows, to all of the live shows I do, can I recommend becoming my patron? Go to Patreon, patreon.co.uk/thehooveringpod. You can swap little bits of money for prizes, rewards, gifts, brilliant things. So, for example, if you give $5 a month, I think that works out as like £2 at the moment, then you get discount codes for every single one of these live shows. If you give $10 a month, even just for the next month, you get a bonus Happy Birthday Hoovering episode in the middle of January that's just for patrons who give $10 a month between now and the end of January. I mean, obviously, you're welcome to stay on. That would be lovely. Other than that, it's just the usual grovelling thanks for those of you who are spreading the word about this podcast. I literally don't know what I'd do without you. It's a joyful thing that you are telling other people about this podcast. I'm very grateful. I'd go so far as to say I love you for it. So, let's get into this podcast. Jade Adams is at my house, and true to form, she's fucking cracking me up the whole while that she's making me the most beautiful food. And the whole time, she's not pulling any punches at all, as you will hear. She's amazing.
Listeners, there's going to be a loud bang. Done. This is a dish that I've lived with a lot of chefs.
Oh, have you? Why have you lived with a lot of chefs?
I've lived with chefs, I've worked for chefs, I've ran restaurants and all sorts of stuff throughout my life.
Yeah.
I've been a manager of a vegan-vegetarian restaurant that turned vegan-vegetarian as I was manager, which I felt like was almost like some sort of like hostage situation.
Was that in Brazil or in
London? No, it was in Cardiff.
Oh, right.
I lived in Wales for 8 years.
Oh, God. Okay.
So I'm basically Welsh.
Yeah.
I worked there. And so my friend that owned the restaurant, she taught me a lot about cooking. And then I worked for another guy before that called Eamon Fullerlove, who was the head chef of 15 with Jamie Oliver.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And he taught me. So I didn't used to... I was meant to be downstairs serving beer, but I was always up in the kitchen watching him. Then he would taught me how to, like, clear soup and stuff like that and egg whites.
Wow!
And
oh, my fucking God, I had no idea. You're basically... a proper swanky pants chef then. If you
I'm not a chef, but I can cook for large groups of people really well.
Yeah. I'm the equivalent.
Yeah.
I'm as close as one person can get to a large group of people.
Oh. When it comes to people. You were like, I'm the equivalent to, I don't know what I thought you meant there.
No, I just feel like I can eat a lot.
Great, lovely. Well, this dish is an Italian dish, and it's I really like it. The last chef I lived with was a girl called Jess Simmons, and she is used to work for Angela Hartnett. Mm. And she, I lived with her, and lived with her for maybe 3 years. And she taught me loads. So she was opening her restaurant, her first restaurant up whilst I was living with her.
Wow.
Which is called Beef and Brew. And it's in Kentish Town. And it's really, really good food. And vegetarian, so you can go and eat there. It's fine. It's for steak.
Great!
It's a steak. And it's in Kentish Town. But they've just opened another one up in London Bridge. That's how well it's gone.
Oh, wow! So they've done, good for her.
So they've done a second. She no longer is chef because it was too much for her. And she never really wanted to work like that. She wants to create menus and create restaurants. So her job's slightly different now. Okay. But, I mean, it's her restaurant. It's her vision. And she runs it with this other guy.
That's so cool. Jess Simpson.
Jess Simmons.
Simmons, sorry.
Simmons. And I lived with her. And whilst I was living with her, lucky old JD, lucky old Adams, was living with someone who was, like, developing a menu.
Oh,
so I'd,
wow,
like, come home to short rib and, like, a cow full of gravy just for me and shit like that.
Wow.
It was incredible. This is a dish that she taught me, and it's got a fancy Italian name.
Yeah.
Because the Italians do this, and I call it sardine pasta.
Sardine pasta.
But there's a fancy Italian name for it. If you type,
even though it's a
on
simple
your phone,
thing.
If you type in Italian spaghetti sardine dish, it's got black olives in it as well. And to people that are sort of put off by those ingredients, I bid you just have a look at the photograph that we'll post of this.
Yeah.
Because it's such a great dish. And
so we're chopping up onions and...
The onion
red
onion, yeah, because they're prettier, I think.
Yeah, a bit sweeter.
Sweeter, and I think a white onion, quite stewy.
Yeah,
For a soup or something like that. But a red onion, if you want to, like, sort of be a bit fancy.
All that's come up is pasta con le sarde.
I think it's that.
That's pasta with sardines.
In Italian.
Hang on.
Oh, I've said
it's a stork. It's that type. Well, it's a spaghetti with sardines, but it's a stork.
It does, to be fair, sound fancier in Italian.
Yeah, it does. I think it is spaghetti with sardines. But I've basically, that's a clove of garlic, but a large clove of garlic there. I think it's probably not too, too much.
I fucking love garlic.
Oh, great. I'll shove it all in then. But it's a store cupboard dish.
Yeah.
It's all the bits that you'll have left over. You'll always have one onion left.
It's mainly tins and stuff, isn't it? And you could have had the olives. We've got fancy olives here, but you could have had them from a tin or a jar.
And then I bought some Parmesan, but you don't have to have Parmesan on it.
Oh my God. This is going to be
You're
fit,
keeping that
already
for this. This is my gift to you.
Oh my
God. So I'm working at Selfridges at the moment in their basement doing a show, and they said to me on my birthday, what do you want? What department do you like the best? And everyone was like, oh my God. And they were like, and they thought I was going to like go jewellery, but I went food.
Costumes.
Went, they don't have any. They won't have anything my size there at all. It'd just be depressing. But I asked them for
in the whole of Selfridges.
Yeah, they don't.
They have like haberdashers and stuff to make. All, they you could. Make those of awesome costumes.
Well, my mother and my friend Gemma Banks does all my costumes. I'm chopping up some black olives.
Mm.
Which normally I hate. I hate black olives.
Really? God, I was going to ask if I could eat one up.
Yeah, go for it. I won't be using all
of them. I've taken two out. I've taken two.
I don't normally like black olives. I think they're disgusting. But chopped up in this dish, they are absolutely divine.
God. And I don't know what these are, but they're so creamy. I think black olives are so often like shit ones out of a jar that... Well, they do the job, but there's... I love the inkiness of them, but I hate it when they've got that like sharp
bitter. Yeah.
And these aren't at all. They're like really creamy.
These aren't bitter at all. These are from that really expensive place up the road from here.
Yeah.
I was in like a Marks and Spencer's, and it was one of those ones for people who were on the go. I was about to call them lazy people. People
in a train station, M&S. Yeah, they're fucking useless. I was on my way to a friend's house for like our Christmas dinner, and she did like mate's Christmas dinner. She knocked it out of the park, actually. She did like a mackerel pate.
Ooh.
Which again, like I really am not into mackerel, but in a pate like that, it was amazing with some different types of smoked salmon and rye bread starter, and then we all had haggis or veggie haggis, neeps and tatties. She's a Scottish one. Anyway, on the way, she was like, "I need dill and a jar of horseradish," and we were all bollocksed. We were all coming from different places, and none of us could find a mini supermarket in the station that
was that one pissed.
No, I don't mean bollocks like that. I mean, none of us could find either dill or just in those little M&S's in the stations or the Sainsbury's as well.
They're absolutely
so
useless. They look like they'd be all posh in that.
No, you could get pizzas and Percy Pigs.
And that's it.
Which is fine sometimes.
Vegan Percy Pigs is probably what they do the best in there. Yeah. I like those.
I like those vegetarian ones. Or the tangy Colin caterpillars.
I don't really like the idea of that meat and beef when I'm having the sweets, so...
No, I don't. It's weird that there's beef in the sweets.
It's really odd. I've just chopped up some parsley.
I can see that, and it looks bloody amazing. You're doing it so prettily, even the chopping's so pretty. Also, do you know the other reason you can tell you're a proper... You've had, shall I say, the influence of actual chefs.
What's that?
It's you're doing all your mise en place, like you're chopping everything before you even start.
Oh!
I mean, you've done the pasta, but I think it's like a... I still, even though I know it's what pros do, I could just get distracted and desperate to start cooking, so I never have everything chopped by the time I start sizzling.
I didn't realise I was doing that. Mise en place, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Is it? So have you cooked?
I've done a few cooking courses. I'd love to do more, especially as part of this. Good excuse, right, wouldn't it? And then sort of maybe talk to the person that led it afterwards while we eat whatever we've made. Actually, that's a great idea. I'm going
to
look into
that. I'd come with you if we went I'd love to go to some Asian cooking courses.
I did one, it was a really specific curry. But I would, and I've done dim sum, which was fucking great. Yeah, in King's Cross. Way, well played. I was so scared whenever I opened these tins of fish. These are smoked sardines. I don't think I've ever heard of it. Can I have a sniff?
Yeah, go on. It'll smell like cat food.
No, it doesn't. It smells amazing because that oil's so posh. It smells really nice.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, so they're posh enough that they'd be all right, like on a pizza, just as they are probably as well, wouldn't
you?
You'd
have an anchovy on a pizza because it's a sardine. Smaller fit. It's too, they're too big.
Is it?
Yeah.
I quite like the idea of a pizza with a great big fuck off cod loin on it.
Delicious.
Tell me the best and the worst thing you've eaten this week.
Best thing this week I ate.
So far, until this.
Till this. This is going to be the best. But best thing I've eaten. Let me look at my diary because I really can't remember what I was doing from one day to the other. Oh, I went to... So I randomly... I also take photographs of people sometimes. Well, I used to. And I randomly took some photographs of this person who also happened to... He's like a... he was called Simon. And he had a friend called Sean who he knew from church. She was opening up a restaurant and she needed a photographer for the restaurant.
Oh, nice. A food photographer.
So I just went and did it.
Nice.
I've never done food photography before, but I was like, just went on the internet, learned how to do it, took the money. they're on the internet. They've been in magazines and stuff.
I'm talking to a food photographer who's been doing it for ages.
Oh, really?
January. Yeah. I thought it's quite an interest. Because it's an art form.
Yeah.
Especially when you really I imagine that the food was amazing, but often for cookbooks and stuff.
You've got to manipulate how good it looks.
Absolutely. And a lot of it it's been inedible. So manipulated that you couldn't eat it. Yeah.
Inedible food after you've done it. Well, the Chinese, so the Japanese and the Chinese, they display their food on the outside of the buildings. I went to Japan this year.
Wow.
And they display the food on the outside. And so that's when. And they spray it all in glue. So it stays, it's all sprayed with glue and then it dries and then it's just, and then it just maintains its
structure.
It doesn't
and then you keep it and you use it as a fridge magnet that rots from the inside out.
Yeah, perfect.
Delicious, absolutely delicious.
Real lovely.
Japanese snack.
I think it might be plaster that they put on it.
Oh, okay.
I think it's that.
I interrupted you though, and did you have the best thing you've eaten this week was while you had taken pictures of that food? Did you get dinner?
So my there's a lovely woman called Claire Haig who's a photographer for comedians.
Uh-huh.
And she does a musicals photography.
Oh,
and she's just done us a lot of favours, so I thought I'd take her out for dinner.
Oh.
And we went to the place that I took photographs of. Oh, and I had to start quail's legs, which I'll be honest, they're a bit fiddly.
Yeah.
I'd rather just have a big chicken leg.
Yeah. Me too.
It's a bit like...
Everything about quails, I just think, oh, you're just like a miniature version of...
What's a fucking...
You're not though. Different enough to a chicken to have justified having killed.
No. And they're so small and...
Yeah.
And like, I just wanted to pick... I was in a posh restaurant, so I couldn't pick it up, but I just wanted to pick it up and like eat it and...
Yeah. I honestly think that if the restaurant was really worth its salt, it shouldn't mind you picking up an animal bone. And tucking in.
You can do it in Rick Stein's. It's someone like that.
Who genuinely encourages it.
Yeah, who encourages it.
Good. Woohoo! That's smelling amazing. Oh, I'm excited.
I mean, onion and garlic. I mean, it's.
Can't
go wrong with that, mate.
What's the worst thing you've had this week?
I've had all good stuff. I had a tuna sandwich yesterday, but it was nice.
It was nice.
Put some sriracha in it.
Oh!
I'm really good at making things that are just normal much better.
Yeah.
I've got this drawer, and it basically is a drawer that can make any dish delicious.
Wow. So what's in it apart from sriracha?
Sriracha, soy sauce. There's like, there's an MSG product in there as well. There's, all your salts, it's Vietnamese summer roll wraps in there. There's like mooli, there's noodles, and there's umami seaweed, there's stuff to make dishes from all over the world. So I've got dal in there, I've got pastes, all that sort of stuff.
Nice.
But it can...
I want to know whether your MSG paste is the same as this, which the chef did recommend to me, which is... The easiest thing, if you've just got noodles and one vegetable or something.
Yeah, I've got that.
It's bean paste and chilli oil. These are sweepy, John.
That's what I've got. I haven't got it with chilli oil, but it's the same company.
It's so good. It's in every Asian supermarket.
Yeah.
And it's about £1. And it's filth.
Absolute filth.
Perfect. Just use it instead of oil and run that through it. Yeah.
I'm excited about having a steak again because it's been years, but I honestly can't remember
when the last one was. What I have just enjoyed is watching you test your sauce with my son's plastic tiger spoon.
Little tiger on that spoon.
It's December now, so Merry Christmas, Jade.
Merry Christmas.
Have you got an advent calendar, and if so, which one?
I've got a Lindor advent calendar.
Oh yeah, is that the one with the balls or just with the posh Lind chocolate?
Balls, and then on Christmas Eve you get the Lind chocolate in it.
Yes.
So that's nice.
Oh yes.
But the thing is I'm not eating them.
Why?
I don't want one every day.
No. You have to be in the mood, but I do that. I haven't got one yet this year. I'm waiting for
they're cheap.
I'm scum.
I think they will be now. It's a week in.
It is a week in, yeah, yeah. I want to get... Last year, I'm so unadventurous, but Hotel Chocolat do a really nice dark chocolate one, and I love dark chocolate.
What are you doing for Christmas?
Oh, it's up in the air exactly what, but we're having... It's my year to have actual Christmas Day with my partner's family this year.
Oh, okay.
And well, I was going to ask that, actually. I wanted to know what your Christmas Day is like, especially on the eating front.
It's mega.
Is it mega? Oh, God, I can't wait to hear it all, Jade. But just quickly before we move on from advent calendars.
Yeah.
I think there's something really joyous in, and I've only really had the self-control to do this as an adult, or in really recent years, actually. But there's something lovely about going, oh, I don't really fancy one today. And then by the time you actually sit down, maybe to watch them and whatever, and crack it open, you've got five to have.
Yeah, well, I've been keeping them in a little... Just because I want to open the doors, but I've been keeping them in a little glass next to them.
Oh!
So I have that...
I like it. You still want to open the door, Jay. That's very sweet. And
you still want to open the door.
How much of a rule abider are you? Would you ever, and have you historically ever eaten ahead of the date?
No, I would never do that.
Me neither.
I think I did as a kid, because I was like a kid desperate to eat all the time. So I would do it as a kid, but as an adult, I really love all the tradition. I'm like, I can't wait for Christmas Day. I can't wait to like... really spoil Rich and like make him a turkey and cook and it's my favourite to cook for other people. This is why I'm cooking for you.
I love it
because I love cooking for other people. It brings me so much joy.
Yeah, it's a way of really giving love, isn't it?
I'm really needy for attention as well. And
well,
this
you're
is
fucking nailing it. It's smelling divine. Yeah.
Great.
It's irrationally and far away from all the other things. My cutlery. Christmas Day this year, I'm with my partner's family, but we go on Christmas Day to his aunt's house, and she gets the Mickey ripped out of her because she has a 2-day. It's like they are all military. It's like a military regime. There's a spreadsheet, and there's something happens every 5 minutes.
Really?
And everyone's involved in that. It's the opposite of my drunk, inordinately laid back family, where often everyone drinks and has snacks, but you don't actually sit down to eat until like 8 or 9 at night often with my lot, whereas they're like, it's on the dot midday, but my God, she can cook. She's the most extraordinary. I've only ever had her Christmas dinner, but it is just like...
Is it great?
It's enormous. It's everything in it is always perfect, and there's so much of it. It's obscene. Tell me about your Christmas Day then.
So this year... I was going to go and get my turkey from a place called Ginger Pig.
Ooh, I've heard of that.
Who are a super posh butchers in Stoke Newington, and I'm not really being a one with the people at the moment because I can't imagine a lot of people can really afford it, but I don't have kids.
Yeah.
So I can, you know, I'm not buying fire trucks and...
Yeah, yeah. Separately. Oh, believe me, nor are we. Yeah.
Well, what's he asked for?
It was only his birthday in October.
Oh, great.
So he's had that. We've our whole family have chipped in, and he's had a bike.
Oh, so is he?
Yeah, and because he's this. Oh my God, this looks amazing. There's so much stuff in the world, and he doesn't really know yet. He's only three. He doesn't really know.
Have you got a little grater?
Yeah, he's going to get stocking stuff. Really.
Oh yeah, nice.
We went to a playgroup, and he got really jealous of this girl's witch's outfit. And
did
I was
he?
Like, yeah, I'll get you a witch's outfit. He's a good lad like that. Like, he's got loads of tiaras, and it's great that he doesn't give a crap.
Are you
about
trying? Are you gen? Are you
a modicum of it? Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
We haven't called him unicorn or anything, but I want him to grow up not to hurt women.
Yeah, of course. Simple.
Or men.
Is. Or men.
Oh, this looks so good.
I hope it tastes nice.
Oh my God, it's definitely going to taste nice.
Mm-hmm. We're both now taking pictures of our food.
Yeah, well, it's 2018. Just got to live with it, haven't you, really? Oh, can I get you a drink to go with this?
Have some water.
Just water?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
You don't want them at the Vimto? I'm really trying to flog you a Vimto. You don't have to have a Vimto.
I'm alright for a Vimto, I'll be honest. It's a zero Vimto, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can shove it up your ass, mate.
It's because I have to share them with Ruby. Mm-hmm. He thinks every fizzy drink is called lemonade.
Oh, does it?
And he'll go nuts for it, and you can use it as a really good bribe. Like, you can get, you know, three potty uses, a whole meal eaten, a really healthy one, all if you go, and then you can have another few sips of lemonade. He's upset. Any fizzy drink he thinks is really exciting and delicious. And he thinks they're all lemonade. Even when it's ginger ale.
He thinks it's lemonade.
Ginger lemonade.
What's his favourite
one? Black lemonade is colas. No, he hasn't got a favourite because he thinks they're all one drink that come in different colours.
The fizzy.
He's a moron still, Jade, at this stage.
I love him. Is he like sparkling water?
Do you know what? That would be a really sensible thing to try, wouldn't it? The one healthy thing that we could have done. And it's just taken someone to state the obvious.
You've made me laugh, but also broken my heart all in one amazing bit of advice.
Say scrumdiddlyumptious.
Hello!
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrumdiddlyumptious.
That pasta is so good. It's really chunky.
You can get spaghetti, you just get a can of chopped tomatoes,
a little bit more salt because I'm going to pearl up.
Yeah, go and stick it on mine as well. Capers, sardines, and then I'm going to just...
Another drizzle of oil. Whoa. Yes! Oh, yes. All right, so this year, turkey from Ginger Pig.
I was going to get turkey from Ginger Pig, but then Lucy Pearman, who's a comedian, she told me her brother farms turkeys, and I absolutely want to choose my own turkey.
Get in, yes! Oh, what a great idea. Mm. And then, like, you literally...
Pick
it. Where's the brother doing that? Not in London.
I don't know.
I've
got to get in touch with her about it.
Great.
I'm hoping I haven't missed the boat.
Mm. I bet loads of people would rather do that.
Yeah. My mum said you won't. Mum said you won't eat it, and I was like, yeah, I fucking will.
Yeah, you will. I don't know, actually, I've just assumed there, but like I think that was part of like one of the reasons why I decided not to eat meat very often is because so many people have lost that connection between what it was and what it then becomes.
Yeah.
If I could know how an animal had lived and then be taught how to effectively kill it myself.
Yeah.
And then was able to store it in a way where I could live off it with my family and or friends for donkeys, you know, 6 months or a year. I'd love that. That's that'd be amazing.
Convenience has made people really unaware of their food and stuff. And
yeah.
My mum always used to teach me about cooking, and I'd stand next to her, and I knew how to make a roast dinner by the age of 10.
Wow, that's amazing. Did you grow up in Bristol then?
Yeah. It's the way I got to hang out with people was to just, the way I worked out that you get people to hang out with you is you get interested in the things they're doing.
Yeah, and the things they're doing with cooking at home.
And then I would do DIY with my dad.
I'd do it with my granddad.
Oh, yeah?
Bits of carpentry and stuff. I remember building a wooden gun once that I was really chuffed with. But then I'd stay with them every half term. They lived in Farnborough. But when my mum and dad came to pick me up, everyone had a real laugh because I unknowingly, as a child, made it extremely phallic.
Of course you have. How old were you?
Young. 5 or 6. Made a great big wooden bob end. So is you doing Christmas this year with your partner?
Yeah, so just the two of us, because last year we travelled 1,700 miles to be with everyone, and we were with all sorts of different people. And then this year, the sort of rule is if you want to hang out with us, you've got to come to us.
Nice, okay, great.
I would like to try and encourage his boys to come and have Christmas with us at some, like, at some point of the Christmas bit. There's like a week, isn't there?
Come for a day or something. Mm.
So they've not really visited yet with us being there. They're sort of, you know, they're in their 20s, they're doing their own thing, but I want to sort of get them, I want to get them over. And
do you have a board game on a Christmas day?
This is the thing, we haven't, the only Christmas we've had is the one we had last year. We haven't spent Christmas together before, except for one, which was last year, and then this year's the second one. So we really don't have any traditions yet. But
you can make all your own traditions, that's all right.
Yeah.
Have you got like a dream Christmas Day breakfast?
Yeah, so he'll make that. I'll be doing Christmas dinner. Because I'm going to do all of the prep for the Christmas dinner the day before. So I'm going to dry the potatoes as well, so they're really crispy. Mm. So I'm going to boil them on the Friday and then put them in the fridge so they dry out.
That's clever.
And then that's so they'll already be done. And then all I have to do is chop veg and put the turkey will already be in. And I'm going to cook the turkey on it's going to be on top of a grill or in a pan. And then in the pan, you put half a bottle of white wine, stock, an onion and a garlic. And then you wrap the whole thing in tin foil so it's all airtight. And then it basically steams the bird. And then you take that all off at the end. And then for the last 20 minutes, you just brown the
crispy
top.
Crispy crisp.
Yeah.
So many people are going to want to give that a go, Jade.
Yeah, mate.
This has been delicious. I don't feel like I've talked about it enough. Every ingredient is just the perfect complement to each other.
It's nice, isn't it?
But all the things in it that I think what I've got, I was saying earlier, I've got a bit of a perv on for spaghetti at the moment because I think it's because I really love tangy, salty things. And that good red sauce.
Yeah.
Is really that, really sharp but really salty all at once.
Do you like a bouillabaisse?
Do you know what? Again, like I think it's one of those things I probably had last in my teens. But I I've had the opportunity to have it when I've been occasionally in a nice restaurant that would do it, but it wouldn't be the thing I'd pick because I want to try something else more. A menu that's got that on it, there'll be something on it that I want to try more. But is that the same kind of tomato-y, tangy?
Yeah, it's tangy, tomato-y, fishy, sort of fish stew, isn't it? And then you have like cod and mussels and prawns and all the shellfish, and then you have it with a big roll of crusty bread.
Oh my, yeah, I'd love it.
With butter on it.
Oh, I'd love it.
And another one, a chowder, so like a fish chowder, it's like a white sauce version of that.
Yeah. I'd be less fussed about that.
Yeah, I'm not really into carbonara either.
I had an ex-boyfriend who got really ill off a chowder once from a chain, kind of get your lunch from place.
Leon.
Eat.
Was it?
I'll leave that in. You can sponsor me any time now. It was years ago, but he's just so disgusting and funny and graphic about his illness afterwards that I've never tried one and now I don't think I can. I'll just picture him.
Chucking up I was being sick at 3 a.m, but it was due to a cough.
You coughed yourself sick.
I coughed myself sick.
Poor thing.
Rich didn't know what to do.
Oh!
He was like, are you okay? And then this morning when I got up, he called me something, it was really funny. I had my little sad face on and he said to me, he called me a chicken nugget and it made me laugh.
Oh!
He went, you're a chicken nugget, you're not good for anything. Let's stick you in the grinder.
Oh! What does he cook for breakfast on Christmas Day?
Oh, he'll do a mega sandwich. So he'll do... I'm going to tell you something now. Yeah. Now, everyone's banging on about sourdough, and I'm like, fuck sourdough, right? Just because it's hard. We're eating what tastes like stale bread because some middle-class knobhead told us to have it somewhere, right? I will have it. I will have sourdough. Great, whatever. However, nothing. I bid you nothing. Beets. A fucking tiger loaf.
Yeah.
Or a harvest loaf. Or like some really spongy, warm white bread. Mm-hmm. There is nothing wrong with that.
Beautiful.
And I love also a Hovis seeded sensation. That is a great loaf of bread.
I think there's one in my cupboard right now.
Oh, is there?
Or a supermarket owned brand equivalent.
Brilliant.
It's the best.
Yeah. Because granary in the 90s, because I'm a working class girl, you might not think it by all the sardine pasta and the talk of bouillabaisse, but the reason I have all that, and I know all of that, is because I left the house and I went and sat with chefs and I watched and I learned, because I'm just hungry for knowledge. So it impresses people, I'm sure. That's what my therapist would tell you. But there's some things that gentrification have just got wrong, and I really believe that bread's one of them. I think bread's one of them.
Artisanal bread.
It's not healthier either. Sourdough is not healthier than a tiger bread. It's the same amount of calories as well.
It's like you say, it's harder, so it's better for some things. So, like, for example, something you might dunk it in, where you're having, like, mussels, like the creamy, winey, garlicky mussels, or the bouillabaisse,
Yeah.
But a sandwich, get fucked.
Yeah, why have I had people make me a sourdough sandwich before? There was a bread I had the other day. A cob loaf is good.
Mm.
That a cob loaf is better than a sourdough, I believe.
Yeah.
I think it's better.
Fluffy innard.
It's got a fluffy innard, but it's crunchy on the outside. So it has that stability that you need, that you're craving from your sourdoughs. I think sourdough is only good for chopping it up small and making little snacks to go with stuff, you know, like doing a little, chopping up some tomatoes and onions and parsley and coriander and lemon and olive oil and
then spooning
that bruschetta. You stick all that on top of that. That's lovely.
Nice.
With a bit of sourdough.
Something really saucy, really juicy. Those are probably guacamole, or if you want to call it a smashed avocado. It needs to be real liquidy, doesn't it? It needs to be basically on a raft, a really hard, chewy raft. But anything where. Yeah, I think, you're right. You're absolutely right. I hadn't given it enough thought, and I'm sorry.
But Asda Tiger Loaf, Meg, I'm a real Asda girl. I love Asda more than any of the other supermarkets.
I'm a big fan of Asda.
I go there because my mum works there, and so I'm very nostalgic about people dressed as fishmongers and the smell of fish.
It's also Rudy's favourite because he likes a green basket, Jed.
Oh, does...
We come back in now off the back of a conversation we'd been having in the interim, which didn't make the edit. But for context, the conversation was about one of Rudy, my son's recent huge meltdowns.
I don't think crying's as bad. I hope not, because that's my go-to thing. I'd rather cry than get angry. But only because crying doesn't escalate it. If you match their rage, if you start losing it too, it escalates it.
What does he feel when you cry? Does he feel it? Does he worry about you?
I imagine so, but he doesn't... He sometimes will say, I was very sad and you were sad too.
Oh my God, he's so amazing!
He's got no empathy yet.
No.
So he's just stating what he's seen. He's learnt that if someone's crying, they're sad.
Yeah.
But no, after most of his meltdowns, and I'm putting this in here because I'm always so horrible about him, he will cup my face in his hands and say, are you my friend? I'm sorry. He can't control himself. And you have to, of course I'm your friend, but it's not
oh my
you
God, you're breaking
do.
My fucking heart. So those bits are the bits that make me go, I'll have one,
really.
But then I know that a majority of the time it's an absolute fuck stain of a situation, because you're like, I've got all sorts of friends that have got babies of all different ages, and everyone's a bit fucked from it. Like, it's a real, all power to your babe.
I think there's this thing as well where you can't really, certainly not in comedy, talk about the joyous sides of it, because no one wants to hear that. No.
I mean, so
you couldn't go and go, oh, I've just done this. Look
at
all this.
More.
Is there more?
Yeah, there's more.
Yes! Yes! Oh, yes!
Bullshit.
Oh, get in.
Go on, tell me what you're saying.
You can't be like, I can't remember who, but one of the, like, some... shredded bloke comedian. It might have actually been someone like lovely Daniel Simonson.
That's
Simonson,
guy.
Yeah. I don't know whether I'm saying anyone's name right, of food or people. He said he'd been trying to do stuff about being in the gym, and no one wants to see it. They don't want to hear someone talking about their success.
No.
Miserable. Miserable for others.
I have similarly been doing material about being at the gym, but I am a fat person, so I can do that. Any experience of me at the gym is immediately going to be funny, because I'm going to be marginalised in some way, or I'm going to be out of breath. There's nothing funnier than a fat person out of breath.
I don't think it... well, I mean, this is so not off topic, but I want to write something about it, but I fucking go for it in there, and I don't make things look pretty or easy. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm in there... ragged.
Where's that? What?
In the gym. Like struggling. I'll try and lift something up. I'm months away from that kind of, oh, thank you, mate. But I get people I get advice from blokes I haven't asked for.
Oh, do you? What do they say?
I had on Monday a man say, "You're making that look hard." I used to be like that when I was really heavy.
Oh, what?
Kiss my fucking dick. I was raging.
When I say
raging, when I say raging, in reality, trying not to cry. I said, "You know what? I'm not. I didn't ask for any advice. I'm all right." And he said that if you try doing it like this, and he suggested changing what was a pull-up into what would have been a bicep pull-up, which is a totally different muscle group that you're working. So I'm working my shoulders and upper back, and core, and he's trying to do something that would be chest and biceps, a totally different move, turning your hands the other way round, basically, and then just clinging there and slowly doing the negative, which is where there's the down, not the up.
Oh, okay.
And I said, "Do you know what? I couldn't be asked to argue the finer points, but I just sort of brushed it away." So I'll bring it all up with my personal trainer tomorrow, mate, and walked off. But I obviously looked really upset because then he kept following me around. And I thought maybe he's being a pervert, but I just kept walking off. But when I was on the machine and he came up as he was on his way out, so I just want to say I'm really sorry if I offended you. And I went, I just shooed him away with my hand.
Did you?
Yeah, I couldn't bear to talk to him. If you were in a gym and you see someone and think, I'd like to say something to them, even if it's what you think might be a compliment, just don't. It's a fucking vulnerable space.
You know what I think?
What?
I think he fancied you.
I went on Twitter and went nuts about it, and someone else said, "Do you think there's a chance he could have been flirting?"
Yeah, he was.
Oh, wait. I know I've got a long way to go in my feminism, but if you want to flirt with someone, your opening line shouldn't be... His opening words were, "You're going to hate this, but..." And I went, "Don't then, just don't." And then don't have as a second line, "I used to be really heavy like you." I mean...
I'm looking at you, babe. You're a weight that I aspire to get to, so he can...
No.
He can shut his face.
I don't want you to aspire to be anything other than you are. You said something earlier, and you don't have to answer this, but I just want to pick up on it. But you said, as a kid, I was always looking for stuff to eat. Is that because you weren't... Were you not allowed lots of stuff when you were a kid? Sweets and stuff?
Yeah, we weren't allowed it. So I used to just go and get it anyway.
Yeah. What, because a parent was on a diet?
No, because my mum didn't want us eating stuff like that.
Right.
So we didn't really have fizzy drinks till quite late.
That's only made me laugh because
we're literally just...
I'm gonna get some shit from someone for giving a 3-year-old all the fizzy drinks I listed earlier.
But you've given him...
But I don't want him to have to idolise those things as either treats or something, unattainable.
I was literally obsessed with Coca-Cola until not so long ago.
Really?
That's part of the reason. I'm gonna just say it now, that was really the best time I've ever made that.
It's fucking delicious. It's absolutely delicious. I wish I had to talk a bit less so I could just put it away. It's so good. It's the creamiest, tangy, fishy pasta I've ever had that's a tomato base.
It's good, isn't it?
Because and I think because you've cooked it beautifully and the ingredients are heavenly.
Jess Simmons, mate.
Thank you, Jess.
Her mum's a really good cook as well, so I think that's where she learned it all from. Yeah, I think because my mum stopped us from having stuff, it gave me more of a... But the thing is that, and this is what I've been learning from my therapist. So when I went into my therapy session, I said to her, "I want to lose some weight." That was the first thing I said. And that is
really?
The last time I said wasn't lose weight for any vanity. I'm not a vain person at all. It was mainly just for physical health.
Yeah. Right.
That is the first and last time we've even discussed my weight.
She really?
Would not have any of it.
Not interested?
No, it doesn't engage with conversations about what I think about my weight.
Yeah. I don't want conversations about weight in this podcast because I've got contact from so many people with disordered eating.
Oh, do you?
I've had lots of disordered eating and still flip back into it. But I don't want to ever encourage any kind of diet or diet culture bollocks.
There's no diet at all.
It doesn't work, and it makes you mad.
I'm going to tell you, as someone that has tried stuff before, don't do diets. Just exercise. Yeah. And eat whatever you bloody well want. Just get down the gym and don't get too obsessed. Three times a week could be enough, and then let your metabolism do the rest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do the gym bit, which is what... I don't do any of the gym bit. That's the bit I'm trying to get to.
It doesn't have to be the gym.
Or some exercise three times a week is all you need to do, and then eat what you want. Like, it doesn't... Like,
but, mate, as well, I think, even that, people can get so obsessed with it, including me, and I've really had to catch myself. Really had to catch myself going, oh, you've gone every day for 2 weeks.
Strong, you might as well strong, have been
mm.
Do you weightlift?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love it. I fucking love it. I've never... It's taken me 35 years. Not that long. I did a bit of it before I had Rudy. But I didn't get this into... Like, I've got a personal trainer like a wanker. That was my, like, gift for myself. Which is about all the therapies and stuff. And I think for me it counts as a sort of it. Because exercise keeps my head in a nice place so well. But in our first meeting with her, the two good things happened. She said, do you want to know how to get a bikini body? And I was like, oh, fuck off, because that's not what I've come here for.
No.
And I went, no, how? And she went, put a bikini on. And I was like, we're going to get on great. She's awesome. She's single mum, two kids. She's amazing.
She ran here?
Yeah. And she said, right, you know, you try all these things and you sit down, you have a long meeting before you even do any exercise about what you want, etc. And she was like, is there anything you hate? And I was like, yeah, being out of breath. She pissed herself laughing. But I was like, I'm afraid I hate it.
Yeah.
I feel out of control. I feel sick. I don't really want that. I like pain and I like being sweaty.
Yeah.
And so weightlifting it is for me, because it's really so hurt. You get your heart rate up. I do bits of cardio, but I do them afterwards and I do it very gently. I don't want to run a marathon.
No.
I don't want to row a long way. I don't mind swimming a long way.
Yeah.
Because I don't ever get puffed. I just really slowly front crawl a long way, but I'm not...
This is really helpful. Other girls I know have told me to do weightlifting because I'm mega strong.
Oh, mate, it's joyous.
Do you want to show my bicep? Like,
yeah, I do.
We're like, this is nothing.
Oh my god, that's with no working out, Jade! You should, if you fancy it.
Do you want to feel how tight my ass is?
Yeah.
Yeah, fit that.
Fucking hell!
My stomach's not the same, but my ass and my. Jade. My ass and my. I'm you, really she's strong.
Like a, she's like a rock.
I'm
Jade, that's amazing. I love it, and that's with nothing. That's with a fucking ton of work.
Fucking hell, mate.
But that's with quite a lot of work.
You can see it. You've got loads of strength here in your shoulders. And you've got this great... I'm going to say, when you talk, you've got this great vein that comes up. And
I've got a veiny neck.
It's not veiny. Oh, yeah. You have one that comes up. And it's like, I love that.
I like the... what I really like is... I'm going to say it.
Because I've always never really had, like, things that show through my body. Like, I don't have collarbones, and I don't have, like... There's not often a vein that'll pop out, because it's all covered in meat and gravy. So I really appreciate seeing protruding... Not too much. No one needs to be, like...
No.
Stick it... Oh, I mean, do whatever you want, even if you want to. Do what you want. I don't...
It's that, isn't it?
But it's that thing of, like, it's the body you're in. And I think once you realise that even if you restrict what you eat for a year and your body does change, it will go back again.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, like, factually proven by science again and again and again. But there's so much money to be made out of it, and it's all we're ever told is that we're meant to be smaller and lighter.
No, I don't believe that. I'm meant to be big.
I'm not meant to be light. I'm heavy.
Yeah.
I've always been really... like muscly and broad. And
how heavy was Rudy when you had him?
He was tiny when I had him. Seven and a half pounds. But I was that when I was born, and he immediately... most babies, when they're first born, because they've got such tiny tummies like a pea, and they can only have little droplets of... I can't remember milk. What it's first called, but the stuff that comes out first isn't really milk. It's this It's basically, it's really thick, oily, yellow. It sounds disgusting, but it's full of nutrients just for them. Because they can only have a few droplets every, like, couple of hours, and then they conk out. They're knackered by even drinking that. So most babies will lose weight in the first week, and then you'd expect them to start picking it up. He never lost an ounce. He never lost one ounce.
He just got bigger and bigger.
But Mike and I are both, I don't know how to describe it other than hench.
Hench.
Fucking hench. Yeah. And so is he. Not surprised.
I love
big old booty on him. Yeah. It's annoying for when you're doing them... any play group where they require you to pick him up, like Grand Old Duke of York, when they're up, they're up. Even at 6 months, it'd be like, no, when they're up, they're up.
Delicious.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The reason I talk about weight is because I've always been told by someone, whether it's like an inappropriate relative or if it's someone in a car driving past me calling me fat, I've always
been told.
Yeah, it's happened. It's been happened my whole life. And it doesn't happen in Hackney anymore where I was living, but it did happen in Margate and I felt almost nostalgic.
Sorry for laughing, but you made that funny.
Yeah, I did. So when I talk about weight, I actually don't have a single issue about the way I look at all. The only time I do is when I'm ovulating, but I'm hysterical then anyway. Yeah. And I look in the mirror and I don't like myself, but that's because I don't like myself because I'm ovulating. Why is it? Here's a question about periods. Sorry, boys. Actually, no, lads, listen up.
For the boys, this.
Yeah, for the lads.
I don't think it's when you're ovulating. Well, I find when you're ovulating, your men are like, feel a bit turned on and horny.
I don't
it's
know
PMT
what
that makes me look at myself.
PMT I get for the ovulating period. So, right. Oh no. No, ovulating is when you release the egg.
Yeah, that's when it's out and you're like, you want to get some. Yeah, and so you feel like you're pretty fucking sassy on Monday.
Lizzie from Lizzie's on the Green in Newington Green in London is the best coffee, best cakes, best food. It's all under £6. She feeds the homeless. She feeds posh people. She manages to keep a park that was full of drugs and alcohol abuse. And she's turned it into this place where kids and families and the people that still were there when the alcoholics still hang out there. But it's all like really cool. And she is the only person in the entire London integrating communities.
Oh my there's no one else
in the end, because like this
just
is the thing,
gentrify it with also making it right. Give me 1 minute.
Okay. Oh, I love this. I love proper coffee. There we go.
Yeah, I mean, other places, other times where people are regenerating an area or making something nice, then they're pricing the people out of it.
They price people out of it, and then you'll shove two communities together and go, get on, and they won't.
Yeah.
And like, and that's not integration, and the government's never put any money, no government has.
Blair was better than what we've got now.
Yeah, Blair was better, but everyone, you're not allowed to say that about Blair. You're not allowed to say that he did some good.
I'm so glad you do, because I think he did amazing things for education, and he did incredible things about cultural identity. I think the bit at the end was bad, but I think he was the best
Prime Minister we've had in a really long time.
Yeah.
And if someone can just harness what it was that he did, and stop with all the ego and stop with all that and genuinely give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, because the one we got at the moment, it's too much ego there, and you can tell because he went into the victory lap of a fucking competition he didn't win at Glastonbury Festival with a bunch of people that didn't vote for him because they were at Glastonbury.
Yeah.
And I found that gross. I was like, no, mate, you didn't win. You don't get to do that.
I'm in my tum.
I've got this thing about, like, I'm just fed up with seeing fat birds on Instagram with their kettle. I'm so bored of it. Because I follow a lot of body positivity stuff because I really love it.
Yeah, I'm really interested on your take on this. Because I see you as someone extremely positive.
I am really positive, but, like, get your clothes on, girls. No one wants to see it. No one. Not even the... Like, it's not empowering anyone. It's just vain. It's
but do you
vain.
Think that about all women being naked in things?
No, I like nudity in its place. I'm really British about it.
It's the politics of going, look at this extreme body type.
No, it's not even about that. Have whatever body you want, but it's just there's too many people getting their kit off. We've had... People are now empowered. You don't need to keep getting your kit off and then calling it a fucking movement. You're doing it because you're a vain cunt.
Jade, you made me laugh.
Because it's not like you're sitting there like with the fucking camera.
I don't know if I definitely agree, but I think it's. But
you're not showing the picture from below your gunt, are you? You're taking it with an angle. You're pouting. You've got lip gloss on. You're doing exactly what all the other people do. And the thing is it's already. I'm like now. There's enough people doing it.
Yeah.
That I think it's more empowering to
the first
stick
person
a big girl,
that ever did it. Is probably like that's pretty heroic, I would say.
Brilliant, brave, wicked,
and normalising difference, etc., etc., etc.
Sophie Dahl did that in the 90s. She changed the face of the catwalk. She did. Her body wasn't as actually. She was a 16, and she changed the face of. Michelle McManus did it before Adele, and then Adele. And you know, there's these people going and they're doing it, and that's great. But now it's been turned into this thing that I just don't think it. Is
yeah
I think I just see a lot of vanity in it and I see a lot of like insecurity and like this need for the likes and instead of this being for other people, like for example recently Cosmopolitan magazine put Tess Halliday on the front of it, who's a plus size model. She's like size 20-22 covering tattoos.
We did the rounds on the socials, didn't it? And you had all the usual troll muck.
You had one side.
You did have other people kind of going, well, what are we trying to achieve with this? What is...
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt like...
I thought it was clickbait, and I felt that there was no need for her to be in a swimming suit, and I think it would have been more powerful, and it is more powerful now, and, like, this is what it's to put women like me in couture, to put us in fashion, to fucking stop ignoring us on the catwalk, to, like... I was with Moschino. I was at a Moschino party the other day. And the fashion designer was there, and I went, why don't you make clothes for people like me? Like, I said, why don't you make clothes for people like Adele, who is a mega star?
Yeah.
I said, or fucking what's her face from This Is Me, or Remy Wilson.
Fuck, she's amazing.
She's Keala Settle.
Keala Settle. Oh my, I just finished the first series of that.
Stunning.
This Is Us. Sorry.
Oh,
I'm interrupting, and you're making the most beautiful,
no, this
brilliant
is, this
point.
No, this is me, the Greatest Showman. She had a beard, but it is Keala Settle. That's a different girl.
Okay,
but she's another
also
big
wicked.
Girl. Yeah. But I just think it's more powerful to dress us. To give us the power of an outfit.
Yeah.
I don't find nudity at all...
empowering.
The only time I find it empowering is when I went to Japan and I went into the onsen and I bathed with other women and it was gorgeous. I've never felt so at...
Really? Ease. You know what? You all bathe just all, in
closets. Everyone's naked. You forget
naked,
about it
naked.
Minutes.
Really?
Minutes gone, yeah. Because it's all the same clothes. It's like why you dress kids in school uniform.
Yeah.
So they don't all like know what... But the
they
thing
don't
is
know how
that,
poor the other one is or whatever.
Well, they do because of the shoes. it's always a kid with an Umbro, isn't it?
I remember desperately asking for Adidas and then getting told, oh, you're lucky, your granddad's got you those trainers you wanted. He hadn't, they were Golas. So we've got some pudding cakes from Vanilla Cove, which is a bakery that, as far as I'm aware, has only just opened up in Ladywell. And she was very lovely, a lady in there, and it's her business, but she'd run out of vegan ones, although I always buy the vegan thing just to try it. So we've got, oh god, I think that was just called Angel Sparkles Vanilla, and then this one is a Bueno.
Holy fuck.
Yeah,
shit.
I should have just got
what's
two
that?
Of them. And then because I was flirting and telling her I've got a podcast about eating, she said, you've got to try my Christmas cake.
Oh, this and is I Christmas said, cake.
Well, will it contain a raisin? My guest today does not like a raisin. And she said no.
What?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding
me? It smells spicy.
Are you kidding me?
Well, I can't see a whole raisin.
Oh my God.
I don't know though. You tell me, is there a raisin involved?
Not a single raisin. It's got all the flavour of Christmas cake, no fruit.
Oh my God, it's like cross between a chocolate cake with none of the flavour of chocolate.
That's really good.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you, she did tell me it's got raisins in, but they've been all ground up.
Holy shit.
Am I a bastard? Tell me you're not actually allergic now.
No, imagine
fucking
I was.
Fucking hell.
Imagine I was.
I was such a risky. As I was lying, I could feel my heart racing. Jade, that's the riskiest thing I've ever done on this podcast. I nearly killed you. If you had a raisin... I've never heard of a raisin allergy.
No, I haven't.
Do you like wine? Do you like grapes?
Yeah.
Is it the gristliness? Is it the grittiness of a raisin that upsets you?
No, it tastes like earwax. A raisin tastes like earwax.
It doesn't taste like earwax. It's all sweet and gritty. I don't love a raisin.
Kids love a raisin.
Just Rudy's never been fussed.
Has he?
Never been fussed.
You've given me the little bit of bueno as well. Yeah.
I'm a good host. Do you want a fork? I'm such a tramp.
No, I can eat with my fingers.
Yeah, I'm just eating with my fingers.
I love a really boring, spongy folk.
I'd never pick it if I wasn't eating with someone else, but because of this podcast, it's made me try, like, the popular one. Like the plain Krispy Kreme. Do you know what I mean?
It's the same
and
as
see
my
why it's... Why popular. Is it the popular one? And it is just so good. The vanilla flavour in that is lush.
Yeah.
She's nailed it, isn't she? Yeah, really fluffy. And also not too much icing.
And not too much icing, which is always a mistake with cupcakes.
Because that's the bit that leaves you feeling a bit sick, I think.
But I never want to bite into a cupcake and then be left with a moustache of icing, which is what happens. It's never an enjoyable eat. They don't think about... When they're making the cupcake look all pretty with all that icing, you're not thinking about... You have to be about thinking about the person eating it.
Yeah.
How is it? Is it going to be an easy eat? Is it going to be enjoyable? Is it going to be hard to eat it?
It's going to be hard if they've got, and it's like a 99 ice cream on top, but just with buttercream. Mm. I just feel sick before I've even eaten it. But I mean, you know, a mouthful of it's lush often. Sorry, so I interrupted you. So you like cooking, you can make a mean vegan cauliflower cheese, but you said earlier when you were working at that restaurant and it went vegan vegetarian, you felt like you'd been conned.
No, it was fun. Mm. We did a whole, like, competition and asked all the customers whether or not they thought we should do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all fun, and I learned a lot about cooking without meat, which is really important, mm-hmm. especially when you're working class, to learn not to do meat and too veg. And also, I love salad. I make great salads. I was going to do you one today.
Right.
That would have been the other one that I'd
I'm
done.
I'm so happy that it's a winter... It's December day, though.
Yeah, it was something
big,
warm.
Big, tangy pasta was perfect.
Yeah.
Fucking lush that was. And I feel like this is a fit time of day to have a feast as well. Like,
yeah.
We've got long enough after this. It's late afternoon. To get our wits back about us by the time we have to try and be
I've got a gig in 4 hours and I'll be
creative.
Nice full of the energy from the pasta.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would have had a shit between now and then.
Perfect. You can have one here if you want.
Oh, great. If it's ready to come, I'll do it.
Hangover, what are you having?
Hangover, I'm having ham, egg and chips. Ham, double egg and chips. Crinkly ones, preferably.
Oven.
Or double sausage and egg McMuffin.
Oh,
two hash browns from fucking McDonald's,
yes.
Mate.
Yeah, I can't believe no one said that yet.
Who hasn't
double
said...
Double sausage and egg McMuffin. That's the meat I'm having again. I'm not going the rest of my life without another
you
double
make,
sausage. It's the
I
best thing McDonald's have ever invented.
I can make you a double sausage.
It won't be the same.
Oh, no.
I want the grease oozing down. It's the way the grease...
Like...
I think I have dreams about it. Daydreams and night dreams and sex dreams about the way
sausage.
The fat runs out. You squeeze out a sausage,
you
pat it into a circle.
Into a circle and then all the juice from it, because it's not in a sheath here. Because it's not in a sheath. All the juice from the meat does exactly what it is that you're describing.
Just slicks down the side of the English muffin.
Yeah.
With a little fake square of cheese. It's picnic cheese. Ooh. It's so herby as well. Oh, God.
I love these questions.
Nothing else left. Absolutely nothing else left. No other options. Would you eat a person?
No, I'm really funny about cannibalism. Like, it weirds me out on telly and stuff like that.
I don't think you're the funny one, mate.
But, like, in movies and stuff, like, really...
Oh, no. Me too. I get enduring trauma.
I get upset.
Genuinely, the only situations it would be imperative are in an apocalyptic
type
situation.
I kill myself.
I want to be in the first wave, yeah.
Yeah.
I do everything possible to be gone in the first wave. I'm not a survivor.
No, I'm not a survivor. There's no way... The only way I survive...
I'm not a survivor. I'm not going to make it. That's a great feminist anthem.
It's actually a feminist anthem. This is what my new show's about. So I'm writing a show this year called The Ballad of Kylie Jenner's Old Face. And my new show is about how it's absolutely a-okay to not be empowering.
Yeah,
like that's and that version of the song is better because it is okay to not be a survivor and not make it and be shit and be rubbish and be crap at stuff and sometimes be abusive and sometimes like this makes you a full human being.
Someone's taken Santa hostage, Jade.
Oh, no.
They've got him in a basement with his nuts in a vice. They've agreed to release him in time to complete his festive duties, but only if you, and weirdly, it does have to be you, roll a massive barrel of rum up and down all the cobbled hills of Edinburgh for 4 hours. It sounds impossible. It's definitely physically very challenging, but you do it! You're a hero!
Woo.
You've saved Christmas, but you're fucked. I was trying to think of a more creative word. You're so knackered out. That is a massive physical feat. You've achieved it. You're allowed a shower or whatever you need to feel normal again, but you've got that thing where you're, like, proper hungry, proper... you're surrounded by people going, Jane, like, you're as high on life as you can be in this moment, both physically, mentally, everything. Your reward, apart from going down in history as the woman who saved Christmas, is the feast of your dreams.
Oh.
I want to know what you're eating, what you're drinking, who with and where. And none of these things have to be in any way ethical, pious, healthy. They don't have to exist. They don't have to be possible. This is the stuff of dreams.
Okay.
Take your time.
Okay, so I am having a 3-course meal. It'll probably start with, and I'm very sorry to all the middle class people out there, it's gonna start with a fucking prawn cocktail.
Yes.
Mary Rose sauce, all massive crevettes as well. Now, we're not talking little prawns. We'll have them, they'll be the base, and then there'll be like loads of crunchy lettuce around that, and then there'll be like chopped tomatoes on top of it, and a wedge of lemon, and then like big crevettes that have been cooked in garlic, and fucking the best prawn cocktail you've ever had in your life. My next bit of the meal is I'm having fillet steak. I'm having a posh serve from Turf, so I'm having fillet steak and a lobster firmador.
Oh, yes! Filth!
With dolphin well potatoes.
Oh.
Corn on the cob cooked in fire. With chilli butter.
Fucking hell! Oh, God! Oh, my pants are twitching.
And then for dessert, chocolate fondant.
Right.
Chocolate fondant with creme fraiche and salted caramel sauce.
That you've made. Recipe appeared earlier in the show. Fucking hell. Who are you having there?
I'm having it with... Do you know what? I could sit here and pick a load of celebrities out, but I fucking don't want... I hate fucking performers. Fuck all that shit. Last Christmas, we all went back to... We travelled everywhere, but the best bit about Christmas, we'll both agree, was my mum and dad have got two best friends called Shirley and Paul, and they live across the road and always have done. And I grew up with their daughter, Paula. We're born 2 days apart. That's how mum and her mum met, was in the hospital.
Wow.
And they found out they lived opposite each other. They've been best friends years. Mum and dad are thinking of moving soon. They're thinking of coming with them.
I love it.
It's really cute. Well, I don't know if they'll do it, but it was definitely brought up in conversation. I think Paul's trying to convince Shirley. We got invited over to theirs on Christmas evening. We go over there. It's their entire family. We're all playing penny poker or penny cards.
Yeah.
It's poker with pennies. Everyone's in a circle. I've got a jar of pennies that they're Nanny June's as well. She's not very well, so I've got her keep being reminded about it. And it was so normal, and it was so lovely, and I'm sure it wasn't for members of the family there, because there's a lot of family politics that not aware of.
Yeah.
But I had the funniest time, and so did Rich. And that would be the same setup I'd have.
I love it. Sounds lovely.
I think I would just have...
It sounds so idyllic and snuggly and bustly and warm.
Yeah, I'd just have a fire going, and then I'd have like an old table full of people that all just got on with each other because this is my dream, yeah. And I can make that happen. We'd have... Richard Thomas would be there, Rich Ospring of the Opera, and he would get up at some point and play piano, and then I'd go and sing, and everyone would listen to me sing.
Yeah, that's part of my fantasy. A few tears would roll down.
Yeah, they would. So I'd do some opera, that would make them cry.
Yeah.
And then there would definitely be porn star martinis at some point.
Oh, nice.
And there would be like, there would be coffee, there'd be the best coffee. Actually, that coffee was pretty great. There'd be the best coffee you've ever had. What were the other stipulations?
That was it. You've told me where, with who.
Yeah, there you are.
Fucking heaven.
Yeah, I don't care about famous people.
No, who does?
The only, maybe only person, but it'd be weird for them if they were there, and I've met loads of famous people, and they're nice, but they're
You'd
not
You'd be
my,
thinking, poor famous person without your own family to be with.
Yeah, we'll just have our best mates there.
Yeah.
Yeah, much better.
Oh, I love it.
Mega thanks to Jade. I implore you to go and see her show at the Soho Theatre in London at the end of January. It's called Divine Miss Jade, and it will bring you really great, great joy. I'll be there, so come. She's at Jade Adams, JAYDEADAMS, on all of the socials, and she's just brilliant. Come and see me do some stand-up if you want. I'll be at the Leicester Festival in February, 22nd and the 23rd. That's a fiver for a show that should have some kind of form about it by then. And I'll be at the Glasgow Festival too in March on the 29th. Hoovering is live shows now all over the place. We've got Islington in January, Vaults in March, and Glasgow at the very end of March. Links to everything are on my website, jessicafosterq.com. And follow us online, at The Hoovering Pod. And I'm personally at Jessica Foster Q. I love you for having listened. I love you even more if you tell other people about it. And I love you to a sort of inappropriate amount if you either support me on Patreon or come to one of the live shows as well. Take care, please. Hoovering is produced by Emma Caution and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy bloody Hoovering, mate.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.